Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
We'll start the show in just a minute, but first, a word from our premier brand sponsor, CasaGo, and co-sponsors Guest Ranger and Good Neighbor Tech.
CasaGo's founder, Steve Schwab, has been quoted as saying, "You can only be a local in one place." This simple yet profound statement is the basis of CasaGo's franchise model, which allows locally owned vacation rental management companies the ability to compete at a national level by leveraging the systems, software, and support, the buying power of a much larger organization.
As a CasaGo franchisee, you have the freedom to run your business with the support of a community of like-minded professionals while leveraging the economies of scale and buying power to increase profitability and reduce operating costs.
Guest Ranger is the premier guest screening and chargeback protection solution. Leveraging AI, their tool effectively detects fraudulent activity, fake IDs, and underage guests, while also performing comprehensive dynamic background checks. With Guest Ranger, businesses can rest assured that their customers are safe and secure.
Good Neighbor Tech allows you to manage your properties remotely and intelligently, protecting your owners and your guests. Their smart Wi-Fi locks allow you to provide temporary access to home and garage from anywhere and keep track of when guests and service providers are in the property. Good Neighbor Tech provides the ability for you to collect email addresses from all guests staying in a property, not just the one who booked the reservation. Every guest who connects to the internet will see your branded welcome page and be prompted to provide their email address in order to connect to the Wi-Fi.
Visit CasaGo.com/franchise, GuestRanger.com, and GoodNeighborTech.com for more information.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today for the 100th episode of the podcast with the 100 Collection. We have Travis and Rebecca here. It's so good to see you guys.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
And congratulations. That's a huge milestone, 100 episodes.
Yep. It's amazing to think, to be honest. I mean, literally, like we've hit... I've said welcome. I've said that now 100 times. That's pretty good. Not including the outtakes too. So probably
This is true. So why don't you guys give us a little bit? I think everybody knows who Travis and Rebecca are, but why don't you guys tell us a little bit about each of yourselves, and then we'll kind of tie it into how the 100 Collection came to be.
So I'm Rebecca Lombardo, and I have a background in storytelling and branding and marketing. And I fell into the 100 Collection or was pulled last year when a mutual friend introduced me to Travis.
Great. And Travis?
Yeah. And I've been in the vacation rental industry since 2007. I was one of those guys that accidentally built guest house behind my main house before it was popular and said I was going to rent it out nightly. And that ended up working out well. And then fell into the management company, just like about the other 99% of our industry somehow ended up with two of them doing. And just kind of kept my finger on the pulse of what was going on in the industry, which was some of the origins of the 100 Collection, if you will.
Interesting. So I remember last summer getting on the phone with you, Travis, and you were trying to tell me about this project that you had. And I could not understand what you were talking about because you had to be very vague because it hadn't been announced yet. And I remember I didn't know you. So also I was like, what is this guy talking about? I'm so confused. And it's come full circle now. Obviously, I know much more about it and I've gotten to know you well over the past year. And I think you guys are on just a great, great mission. But tell us a little bit about the 100 Collection. Hopefully you can be a little more clear than you were with me last summer for our audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not, you have Rebecca here to help.
it's been a project that's actually been in the works for quite a quite a long time. And the original version of this was supposed to launch in the first quarter of 2020, which ended up not exactly being the best time. I remember like it was yesterday when I was watching the news and looking at Wuhan, China completely empty. And I was like, I wonder how long this is going to be before it's, you know, the US. And like, is this a good time to start a business or go launch a project? And we had numerous different partners that had signed up to be under, you know, a different version of this. And then, you know, obviously COVID happened and we hit the giant pause button. And so, you know, the 100 collection is about the people and the properties that are delivering 100%. It's a giant brand, ultimately loyalty project, but I'm a huge believer in the vacation rental industry. I love our people, and I have noticed time and time again that when the people are local and there's boots on the ground, they seem to be really well-run companies. Ultimately, I also think, you know, what's going on in the industry is that it's a lot harder to find these people these days. And so, you know, Rebecca will tell you, you know, a lot of these brands are disappearing, a lot of these local brands. So there's over 17,000 local brands, and our mission is to bring those out into the forefront.
And so I remember actually kind of to Alex's point, I had a similar conversation. We both didn't know that we had had these conversations with you until later. And we both had the same like, okay, it sounds really neat, but we're really not sure what it is. And one of the things that I do remember talking with you about is that you guys have a word for the person that represents your local market. Can you explain about a little bit about that and like what that kind of signifies and the differentiator that you think that brings to your business? Mm-hmm.
Becca?
The word is doyen, D-O-Y-E-N. Oh, wow. And the word means the most well-respected person in that space. So if you think about one of your peers or one of the thought leaders, you know, in vacation rental industries, that's another way to say a doyen. There's a male and a female version of the word, doyen being the female version. But yeah, it's Travis was working to distinguish the vacation rental manager who is a professional versus like a host, right? So like we can get into the nomenclature debate that's taking place in the industry right now a little later, but that was clearly the universe was calling for some kind of distinguishing among the different types of managers in vacation rentals. So he capitalized on that.
Well, yeah, okay. If you think about some of the people that are a part of this, right? So like Lance and Elaine Stitcher over on Chincoteague Island, it's hard to argue that they're not the king and queen of the island. And you just kind of want to sit there and hang out with them and have a cocktail in the back of the boat. Where you have Tom Goodwin with Mount Laurel Chalets, which is a 50-year-old company in Gatlinburg. Recently got to go to the owner's meeting that he was hosting, and he had, I think, 150 of his owners there. He had the owner's meeting, Mount Laurel Chalet opened up with the mayor of Gatlinburg. Like,
wow, that's so cool.
Ginger and Hunter with Beach Ball Properties that just did, I hope I don't mess this up, but Art for the Heart down in Orange Beach, Alabama. And they chaired a fundraiser, raised over $300,000-something and you know, a couple of months. And it's like, those are the people that I just absolutely love being around anyway. It's like they really make great community. And what a better word than doyen. I mean, it's by definition, nobody's ever heard of it. These are really the most respected people in their community. And, you know, Rebecca brought this amazing PR person to the table who, while we were on the phone, she's like, why aren't you using the female version of this, doyens? I'm like,
I love that. Who
knew? I had no idea.
Wow. So do you use that in your approach when you talk to managers? Do you say, you know, we want to invite you to this to be the doyen and doyen of your area? Or like, how are you using that in your communications?
It's a great question. We're using it softly because I think it takes a while for people to absorb, if you will. And some people like saying it and some people don't know how to say it. Some people question it. But I mean, most importantly, I think you know, in regards to the approach of like approaching managers, often it's people just like yourselves or people that are a part of our community that have their finger on the pulse and they're like, hey, you really should go talk to Lance and Elaine. They are, the partners for you in said location. So it's been kind of a joke. But, Ryan Dane, that we all know from Casago, on a regular basis goes around, it's invite only. And that's essentially what it is that we're, trying, very hard to like filter to make sure that the people are really best representing their community first and foremost, followed by these properties that are best serving the guests as well.
I think it's the first time in my life I've not had any business cards and people ask me for one. And I'm like, can I have one of yours? Because it's kind of a don't call us, we'll call you situation.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
What a great position to be in, though. You don't have that Rolodex that's like overflowing on your desk. Right?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And I think, from a timeliness perspective, for sure, that's a conversation that's being had in multiple different arenas about, why do we need to say that we're professional? Of course we're professional. You wouldn't say that you're a professional plumber. I mean, like, would you want an unprofessional plumber? Like but it does mean something though. And the difference is maybe it's not the best way to say it. Maybe doyen is the way to describe it, but it does signify that these are people that have been in the business for somewhat of a significant amount of time. They have ties to their local community. They're involved with their chambers of commerce. They're involved with, city councils and elected officials, and they're looking after tourism as a whole. And it's not just, I just put a property on Airbnb and I'm a professional. I mean, you can run a professional hosting business professionally, you run a hosting business professionally, but are you the same type of a vacation rental manager that, has this business that has been longstanding? It's a different thing.
I 100% agree. And, I love taking ourselves out of our own industry for a minute. Imagine if you book with your family a plane ticket on Kayak, yet you don't know who's going to fly you. And so you don't know if it's a Delta jet or if it's a Cessna and the pilot just got his license the day before. Do you want to go jump on that plane? Do you want to gamble your family's vacation? Like, it's not that far different within our own industry. And, I talk about this a lot. I ultimately think that people are tired of gambling with their family vacations. The average American has like 2-3 weeks. And I personally, we went on a first family vacation as family, and God knows, like 10 years to up to Vancouver. And I looked at the property, I saw all the photos online, I read all the reviews, did all the right things. And when I got there, I was like, I wouldn't even let this property in my inventory. It was such a letdown, but it's like our family vacation. So I didn't say anything, kept my mouth shut. And finally, at the end, when my mom ripped off the sheets to the bed, because that's what she thought you're supposed to do, it looked like three people had died there. And that's when the filter of her thoughts came off.
And,
I think we have been talking about it as an industry, but it's like, there are a lot of people who are doing a really great job creating different standards, putting, we shouldn't even have to say it. Like Justin Ford brings it up on a regular basis. Smoke detectors in a bedroom. Like, it shouldn't even be thought of, but
everybody's been trained to book, coming from the guest side to book through an OTA in mass, right? Mm-hmm. Other than these localized experiences. And so when you book blindly, there's no way to see the brand. There's no way to see a Delta or American Airlines. Like, you don't see that brand at all. You see a seat, you know, and you see like a price and a timeline.
Yeah.
So taking the brand out of the equation, to Travis's point, doesn't do the purchaser any favors. It's quite a disservice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to, you're elevating a local, their doyen, how does somebody get to that? So Rebecca, you don't have a business card. You're not going to go hand it out to 10 people. You're going to search out the best of the best. Like, what is that? What is that search like? What is the criteria that you look at for somebody to be invited to join?
So we don't disclose all of that criteria intentionally so that we don't have, don't put all the bullets out there, if you will. But First thing is, we're always like looking for the face of the company. Who is the face? How are they tied in? Who are we going to promote? And we look at that way before we look at the properties, very simply looking at different reviews. One of the things that I think is absolutely crazy, and I don't mind saying this at all, having a phone number on your website, a 24/7 support line. Do you know how many times people in our industry, or excuse me, guests that are utilizing our industry have gotten locked out and can't get a hold of anybody?
Really? Oh, yeah.
You know, again, like,
yeah.
It's a huge issue, and it's a lot of the feedback that we've been getting over the last year in regards to, you know, our industry with, you know, various different OTAs and guest frustration, owner frustration, or what have you. And so, we look for that. We look at the photography. I mean, Rebecca has an entire background.
Don't get me started on photography. Yeah. I will take up the entire rest of this podcast talking about it.
But photography is so important. And I agree with you on that 100%.
You need to be on our curation team at Homes and Villas. They go through an exhaustive process on that. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting too, looking back on, I remember Travis, I think you and I got into the industry pretty close to the same amount of time, around the same time. I remember going to my first VRMA conference here in Myrtle Beach, that was the spring conference. And they were talking about this new idea for the Switch, which the Switch was, it was ahead of its time in terms of how they were going to be able to execute it. But the concept behind it was similar to some of the issues that we're having here and to what you just mentioned, Rebecca, about the brand being stripped off. And that was part of what Verma was doing with this initiative, was it was going to make it so that we were kind of like a channel manager or gatekeeper of all of our properties and listings, and that we were all going to the table together to agree with these OTAs, or say to the OTAs, you have to show our brand, you have to show our direct contact information. And, you know, I think it had legs to it for sure, but from a technology standpoint, the industry just was not there at that point. I mean, most people did not even have online bookings back then. I remember that was when I just started at Condo World, and we were building a very similar website concept to what you guys are doing right now. It was a website that was just about promoting professionally managed vacation rentals, and host wasn't even a word we were using back then, but it was really more about VRBO and just knowing how this was going to change the industry. And that's, you know, many years ago, but we're dealing with kind of the onslaught of how that ramped up very quickly. And then how it's just really changed the landscape. And I think there's a lot of negative to it, but there's also a lot of positive that we've gotten much more exposure as an industry, you know, through these channels and through COVID for sure. But, I'm curious your thoughts on, you know, on brand and like how is the 100 collection going to be able to make a splash from a brand standpoint that is going to be meaningful to guests and to these property managers? Because how they display this and how they use this to get homeowners, I think, has a lot of possibility. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And so, if you think about the partners that we have now and all the different destinations, these are companies that have existed somewhere between 3 to 50 years old. And if you go to, I'll just use my own domain as a example. If you go to Stay Charlottesville, you'll see with the top right proud member of the 100 collection. And if you scroll down, you'll see that 100 collection category of the 100 collection properties that we're all building together and collectively. And so what we're actually doing is we're taking all of these great partners and we're saying, let's market together and let's go talk about who that number one company is in Jackson Hole. And so I've asked this question 1,000 times, and I'm going to have to put you ladies on the spot. If you, if you were going to stay at a vacation rental in Jackson Hole, what would be the name of the company that you would go find? Or what would be the first?
Jackson Hole Resort Lodging. That's the only one.
There you go.
Well, I do know.
You got one. And, you know, that's, I think, Rebecca, how many times have we asked that?
Over 100.
Definitely over 100, maybe over 200. And I only one person who just recently had traveled to Jackson Hole. But we would argue Outpost, which is run by Miki and Megan Moyer. Absolutely phenomenal people, great company. They're about to go live on our site. It might already be on our site right now. But
and they're in Jacksonville?
They're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Right? Oh, Jackson Hole. Okay.
Yeah, if you think about what we're doing, it's like, you know, I've got 35,000 guests that have stayed with me. And now I'm going to go tell those 35,000 guests that there's 50, 60, 70, and 80 other destinations across North America, soon to be on the other side of the pond as well, but that you can go trust and have a great stay. And we're building it that way. And that's how we're building the brand collectively, which is a lot of this, of the collection power, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we're not having to rely on being an OTA that needs to be in, 5,000 different places or, named destination and have to pay for SEO or SEM to get there. We're also building it as a, brand, in partnership with, these various brands that we're representing and sending direct traffic back over into their platform and, vice versa. So there's a lot of value to that, that has already been created and that's about to even go 10x, 20x of what we've just been speaking about.
If you think of any logo or any icon brand, what does it mean? It represents a value to the person engaging with it. And if you assume that, like, oh, 100 collection, that's new, it just started in October. Yes, this logo is new to the world and the value of it is about to be, embraced and discovered. But what it represents is a collection of existing brands. It's an alliance of, a lot of other logos that have a ton of value and that have built their value over 10, 20, 50 years. So if you look at our logo as a representation of an alliance of longstanding legacy brands, then it has more immediate value.
So the 100 collection that says to me, you want 100 of these doyens around.
Yeah, and will you stop at 100?
Managers, will you stop at 100? And if you don't, like where are you at getting to that 100 at this point?
So the 100 collection is about the people and the properties that are delivering 100%. And okay, so 100%. I'll point back to myself and not throw anybody else under the bus. We all know about owner acquisition. We all have owners that we've worked with for years. And so, when I started our company in 2010, there was an owner that's been with me since 2012. Her property overlooks Charlottesville. It sits up on top of the mountains. Absolutely beautiful. Except the couches are 10 years old. And I have to say, dear owner, every single year, I'm like, please, let's update those couches.
Yeah.
I really would love to have you update these couches. And that's the feedback that the couches look tired. But she's conservative and I don't want to get rid of her because she's been very, very loyal. All right. That's the property that's just not going to go into the collection because it's not meeting current hospitality standards. And so we look for safety, hospitality standards, and then properties that best represent that destination, which looks very, very different every single time, right? And so you go up to Cape Cod and you have these 1940 cottages that look like they belong in a Norman Rockwell painting. Mm-hmm. You go out to Destin, Florida and look at Sam Cobb's properties and modern, clean, and most of them have been built in the last probably mm-hmm. 10 years. And so we look at every single location very, very differently. But again, it always starts with the people that are delivering 100%, followed by 100%.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of overlap between what you guys are doing with the 100 collection, with what Marriott's doing and Annie at Homes and Villas, and with what I'm doing and everybody at Casago is. There's a lot of similarities between, trying to find the best local operators and those levels of standards and quality. I know, Annie, it sounds like their process of curation is similar to what you do at Marriott, right? And I think as managers, some managers can utilize both these programs in a similar way that helps them get their owners to upgrade and update furniture and other things too. But it's all going in the right direction. And I think that's the great thing is we've talked about professionalization for the last few years, but nobody's really made a huge impact on, what is going to be something that's widespread. And I think these initiatives are going in the right direction.
I entirely agree. Look at that. We're all, theory
we're
maybe
all
competitors.
Or,
But not competitors.
Yeah, really,
we're all in different lanes, but just representing a similar
focus.
Intent. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think what Homes and Villas is doing is such a great needed piece too, right? I mean, it's like, it's actually a really great filtration process mm-hmm. and it's saying to the guest, which is what we ultimately all serve, at one point or another. Dear guests, like, here's a great property that you can go trust. And that's exactly what you're doing with Costco and professionalizing the industry and helping streamline it. And, you know, with us as well. And if you think about it, which I love talking about, I've used Bill Marriott as an example all the time. I love following him on LinkedIn, or his son, excuse me. Yeah. But, you know, they've got 30 different brands and they all mean something, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the thing that I ask in our industry a lot is, if you had the option between a Marriott brand being Fairfield Inn or Ritz-Carlton, and both of them are $300 a night, which one do you want to choose? You're going to choose probably the Ritz-Carlton. And if one's $400 and $300, which one are you going to choose? Mm-hmm. And that brand actually means something within that space. And I think that's huge. But I also think what Bill Marriott did is he helped all of these technically local operators. I mean, these franchisees often now own numerous different hotels, but they have a streamlined system coming from the top that provides marketing, buying power, reservations. They give you a playbook. And as you guys both know, like, in our industry, all of us basically wrote our own playbook. Yeah. We're on like this 17-lane highway.
Yeah.
And, you know, ski in, ski out, oceanfront, whatever. Like, everything means something a little bit different depending on what market we're in or who created the brand. And I think that's been beneficial in the past, like, I think those are some of the things that we need to streamline as an industry in the future.
Yeah. It goes back to, I think we've talked about for several years, and even before COVID, it was like just trying to make sure that the guest understood, regardless of where they booked, like if they booked a vacation rental versus a hotel, that they were going to get a certain level of service and standard and, you know, quality of their linens and towels, and making sure that all these, and again, safety, just, you know, simple, like Justin's always pushing on. And I think that that's where, you know, it's concerning that that pie, the part of the pie of like the individual, has grown so rapidly that we don't have an ability to kind of like rein them in, because there's not like a overarching entity that takes care of it. But I think by having the different initiatives between the 100 Collection, what Homes and Villas is doing with the brand, what Costco is doing, and what other, there's a lot of really amazing operators out there. Like you said, Lance and Elaine. I look at Robin Cragen, you know, out at Moving Mountains. I mean, there are operators that are doing this. And if we bring everybody together as a collective voice to say, like, this is what we should minimally expect across the spectrum, then that way we can start to develop the standards that the guest will understand, that if you go to a vacation rental, this is what you can get. If you go to an Airbnb that's not a professionally managed, you're kind of out there like as a, you know, luck of the draw. I don't want to say that, but you just never really know. And so having a brand that you can go to that has a standard that you can recognize is going to be really key for us to continue to grow.
And our hope is that we inspire, you know, a lot of folks out there to achieve, you know, what the Doyens, the 100 Collection, have already achieved. You know, the more, if we can hold this out and say, this is what, you know, you guys could aspire to, you know, to become, that at least paints a clear picture of like, this is the gold standard in the vacation rental industry. And I want to achieve that someday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a question about the marketing. So once you curate all these properties, and I think you're going, can you say when you're going live?
Coming up in the middle of July. We wanted to do it during 4th of July and the celebration of independence. However, I don't believe anybody will be paying attention to their emails that day.
So. Yeah, maybe wait a week or launch, but then also know you've got a kind of a soft launch to fix anything as people will be busy. Yeah. So once
and just to clarify, we've already gone live. We went live in October. This is, you're talking about going guest facing.
Yeah. So once the site is live, tell us about how you're going to drive traffic to the site and how you're going to actually get bookings for these managers that work with you.
Great question. So we're already doing all of that. We've already actually started driving bookings. We've already have homeowners. I actually just did a post yesterday. Homeowners hit our platform and they want to become a part of the 100 Collection. They go to the local manager, and then the local manager gets to decide if they want to work with them and if the property fits that their portfolio, and then if it would fit, you know, our needs of our portfolio that we're building upon. But coming up in July, we'll be sending out millions of emails with all of our various partners talking about the 100 Collection and what we're doing, and that creates a lot of traffic value. The way that we've built it, driving direct traffic, there's already a lot of traffic value being added. And then ultimately, I think America, I hope, loves the story of David and Goliath. And by all means, you know, these are, I think it's one of the most fragmented industries, and it's kind of what I love about it. We all do it a little bit differently, but you know, we're up against some pretty large multi-billion dollar machines that are trying to, you know, capitalize on it. And so hopefully the PR world will appreciate what we're doing and why we're trying to do it and how we're doing it.
Right. So it's going to be a lot of a PR approach, it sounds like, content and, you know, really leveraging, you know, the position of this.
Leveraging a lot of different assets that we already have in place in collection together, which is a lot of fun. And so, you know, most people, not most, every one of our partners has a giant email list. And they're all, you know, everybody understands from the very get-go, you know, what the mission is and kind of the uphill battle. You know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. We're all very well aware it takes a while to build a brand, but we do have a really great jump start on it coming up in July for sure.
So all these partners, like, they're basically just letting all their guests know that they've been awarded a distinguishment, you know, in an esteemed collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'll create a viral effect there. Yeah. Right. So if people start recognizing, okay, this is something that has meaning to it. And now if I go and I want to stay somewhere else next summer, I want to go find another property that has won that award. I guess that's probably the goal, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So you're creating a FOMO, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Well, I mean, have you ever eaten at a Michelin star restaurant?
Yes.
You know, what's so funny. I remember when you guys were first telling us about this concept, you talked about that. And I feel like I hear something about Michelin star all the time now, but I hadn't to that point. But so I don't know if I've eaten at one or not, to be honest. It's possible, but.
And then the question is that even if you've, you know, if you've eaten at that restaurant or a Michelin star awarded restaurant, often people, it takes them a while to remember the names.
Do you want to, maybe just in case, since if I didn't know, maybe some of our audience doesn't know what a Michelin star, what that means for restaurants.
Oh, sure. Well, Rebecca?
Yeah, Michelin star was actually started over in Europe as a way for peer chefs within the industry to recognize the work of, you know, other chefs. So it is solely based on the food. So they get the number of stars, you know, and that kind of recognition based on the amazing food. Then, of course, you know, 1, 2, and 3 stars from there.
And people travel and they'll look for Michelin star restaurants.
Yeah.
And they'll use that as the guide to be able to travel. And hopefully that's exactly what will happen within our brand, that people will remember that the 100 Collection delivered a phenomenal experience. And by 100 Collection, the people on the ground, Lance and Elaine, with a phenomenal property, and that they can trust them. You know, I've actually asked that question on a regular basis too. I'm like, you know, if you've stayed at a vacation rental before, how would you go find another one? And often people say, well, I'll probably ask the company that I would work with before and see what they say. And now we're just trying to make it that much easier to be able to go find those companies.
We say this a lot on the podcast when we're talking about branding, that a power brand is one that you will drive further for, you'll pay more, and you'll wait longer. And that's essentially what Michelin is. I mean, that was about, you know, you'll drive farther to get there. You're definitely going to pay more, and you probably could wait longer too, because it's just a big fine dining restaurant. But that's great. Very cool stuff, guys.
So what's next for you guys? So big launch in July. So that's super exciting. And I know it's going to go great because you've got a great network, and some of the operators that I've seen that you brought on, again, they're the best that I could possibly think of. So it's exciting to see the kind of coming together of all of that. But what comes next after the big launch?
We are hosting here in Charlottesville a partner conference coming up in September. With all of our partners. It's underwritten by a couple of great vendors within the space. And it is a opportunity for all of us to learn from one another. There's some pretty cool, surprising guests. I think one of the guests there is probably going to be very surprising.
Dave Matthews?
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I only say that because I heard the story.
The story.
One of the episodes that when you went to go talk to Travis about this position, didn't you guys, you're in Charlottesville where Dave Matthews is from. Didn't you meet him that night or see him or something?
Yeah. Just having a couple of cocktails with Dave Matthews, no big deal.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. I think it's
way to go, Travis.
I swear, the reason Rebecca decided to work with me is it had nothing to do with the 100 collection. It's because we're sitting at a cocktail table.
It's because you got Dave Matthews.
Literally, the management of Dave Matthews and Dave Matthews come out and hang out and talk. And Rebecca's just sitting there, eyes wide open. I'm just like, just act like it's normal. It's a small town.
Just act like it's normal. That's great.
Yeah, it was, who knows who will pop in, but no, it's going to be such a fun thing because, I mean, one of the neatest pieces, I think, to our industry as well, and that when we've been doing these interviews and calls with our various partners is all of them have a PhD in something.
Yeah,
they all bring something very, very unique to the table. And in our world, it's like we're supposed to know everything, right? It's like I'm supposed to know digital marketing, SEO, yeah, revenue management, owner acquisition, yeah, CRM systems, and like the list goes on. Laundry, housekeeping. Yeah.
It's insane. It literally is insane. We're like a regular manager. My God.
Customer service.
So yeah, literally everything. HR.
Therapy. Therapy. Yeah.
And, we're going to use that as an opportunity to take what we've learned from so many other people to help educate everybody else.
Yeah.
Really try to learn off that with like great content. And of course, we're in wine country here in Charlottesville, surrounded by vineyards. And one of us just happens to have a wine tour company. So there might be a little bit of wine involved. Oh, and Dave Matthews does have a vineyard here.
Oh, okay. How do I get an invite to this? How do I get an invite?
So yeah. It'll come on down. So come on up. I always want to say, Annie, that you're in D.C. But
yeah, well, I grew up there. So Charlottesville, I kind of know, but I mean, it's been years since I've been there. So I got to get back. So it sounds like a good reason to come back to Virginia.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Well, that's super exciting. So now with other conferences like BRMA, now that you're going to be, you're kind of more exposed, you'll be guest facing, you'll be obviously already the property manager facing, but do you ever see yourselves exhibiting at a BRMA or no, because it's more, you're still trying to curate and pick who becomes part of this?
It's such a great question because I'm so supportive of BRMA, and I just don't know outside of shaking hands how necessarily exhibiting would benefit. But we'll see. I'm not sure, Rebecca, you have a different thought, but we wore some hats last year, and it was hard enough just to keep up with the people from the hats or who had inquired about because of that.
Right.
I remember when I saw everybody walking around, I was very jealous. I was like,
I know. Gosh. Yes. We're like, why didn't we get
that?
How
did I get one? Right?
Yeah. Well, clearly we have a hat now. So,
and I ended up giving my last hat to one of our partners at the last conference. Like I can't keep them because they are so popular. So
yeah. Yeah.
Good branding.
Yeah.
If anybody, if you're not watching on, or if you're just listening, head over to YouTube and you can see Annie and I we're wearing the hats. We finally got one after
we made it these months.
So yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Well, I'm super happy to share any time, by the way, the story behind the branding. There's a whole, it's a very thoughtful process putting together a logo and branding.
Yeah. Well, tell the story. Let's hear it.
So Reader's Digest version here real quick is that a friend of mine that I used to work together at a magazine, he was the art director. He's now an artist for Disney. And I asked a small favor. He could put together a couple logo comps for us. And he put together some options and we talked through them and eventually obviously landed with the gold 100 and the black background being the most striking. And I think that is representative of the properties. The properties are striking. Mm-hmm. So we really felt like that was the best fit. You know, we also looked at what other brands have gold in them, what other brands have black in them. Those align, you know, with the luxury and the gold standard that we're trying to set. So very thoughtful process in picking out the colors and the font treatment. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there's the pineapple. So the pineapple logo, which is on the black t-shirts that I wear to the conferences, is it's hospitality, you know, is represented by the pineapple almost everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Through a lot of different stores. So I wanted to do something different with it that was really dedicated to the doyens that we were recognizing. And our PR person who also worked with Michelin star said that we were basically working with VRMs who were putting their personal imprint on their hospitality. And a light bulb went off that I thought of a fingerprint with the pineapple leaves on top. And so that is the logo or icon, that pineapple with the fingerprint shape underneath. That is the VRM's personal imprint on their hospitality. Then of course the pineapple representing hospitality. So
that's funny because Travis, when we were sitting at the bar in Kansas City, you had that pin on your hat. And I asked you, I said, what does that mean? And you said, if I tell you, I'll have to kill you.
That is true.
Well, you know now.
It's very cryptic. I thought, oh boy, I don't think I'm going to ask any more on this. Yeah. But meanwhile, everybody's wearing them. So apparently,
wait, Travis said something shocking. I can't see it.
Right.
You should have seen the cocktail napkin logo that I tried to create and show Rebecca as a when we were trying to sucker her in and joining. And she's watching her just softly say, I think we can do better.
Yeah. Travis,
that's a nice way to say it.
Travis had a logo. Like. I see a lot of logos in this space that I want to redo, but you know.
Yeah.
I think we can do better. I think we can do better. That's, I'm going to remember that as a nice line to let somebody down.
Let somebody down nicely, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for sharing that story too. And I think, you know, you guys teaming up together, you know, couldn't be a better duo with both of your backgrounds. Uh-huh. And we're excited to see where this goes. And we're proud to have you as friends and excited to have you on the show today. It's been a long time coming, but yeah, it's great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Perfect to celebrate our 100th episode with.
For our 100th episode.
We're excited.
And I think it's important too, Annie, we also just thank everybody who's listening. And 100 episodes. It's unbelievable. The first episode was the aha moment. And we've literally had thousands of aha moments in the last year and a half. But just thank you to everyone who supports us, both the show and however you watch on YouTube, or if you just watch the social media, that's fine too. We appreciate your support. If anybody wants to get in touch with Travis and Rebecca, how should they reach out to y'all?
Great question. I would just, if you go to the 100 Collection website, spelled out, or go to Station.
What is the URL, by the way? Is it 100collection.com?
It's the one spelled out, the 100collection.com. And you can find it on numerous websites, whether it's Seaside, Mountain Laurel, Graybeard, Blue Ridge, Southern Comfort, and the list goes on and on and on, or Stay Charlottesville. But there's about 50 plus different ways to be able to find us online through different destinations.
You can also stalk me on LinkedIn. happy to connect with everybody on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well
thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. If anybody wants to contact Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thank you.